You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
I definitely have friends. Objectively, I can say that I have all the friends. I have friends. I definitely have friends. Friends, friendly friends. Time to meet my friends.
Angela.
Shannon.
Jim.
Moosh.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. No one can say that we do not have friends.
We have friends. We definitely have friends.
Welcome again to the Crazy Ex-Girlfriends podcast, where we recap the TV show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend from the CW on Netflix, starring Rachel Bloom, produced by, some cool people, Eileen Brosh McKenna, trying to hype it up this time. We are on the season finale of season one.
So. Which is sad and happy at the same time. Because then we're on season two.
Yeah, we're on season two, and the show has been renewed for a third season. So
back to the, we need the four, right? Like, four is what they were going
for?
Yeah,
four is the mental picture in their head. So if they can make it to four, we'll get the whole story.
Yes! Well, we want the whole story. You don't want it to be like Firefly, where then they have to come up with a movie 2 years later. Nobody wants that.
There's plenty of TV, too, that's done that. So
yeah. Moosh, how did you come up with the theme song? Like, how did you come up with the idea of putting our names in the...
I don't know, because I was trying to steal something. It might have just been timing, because I don't think we had a theme for the first episode.
We
didn't. Maybe the second one. So that song comes up so early in this series.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wait, this is it. Like, girlfriends, friends. I've definitely got friends. Yeah.
Well done you, because, we were just talking about it before with, Jessica, our amazing person. And,
It's super adorable.
Yeah.
It's like the cutest intro ever.
It is. Yeah. I always feel like super bubbly doing it. So.
Oh, yeah. I like bounce, dance a little bit.
It's on point. It's on point for this show, too. Because as much as it's like a very serious, like whatever show, drama plus comedy, it's also goofy and sweet. So
you guys, we talk about cereal things. Just so cereal.
It's so serious. Don't take it serious at all.
I even feel a little bubbly, and I'm not bubbly.
Aww. Did you feel your foot tap? Were you just like...
My head bobbed a little bit.
Whoa. I didn't notice because I was in my
shoulders,
dance group.
Yeah, you were in your own little...
I was doing my little hand.
Bubble world.
You know, when I hear music, it's a problem, but it's not really a problem. When I hear music, I gotta dance. One of my favorite things
More
is going.
More people should be like
that. Thank you. Yeah. I like going to a club and dance until the lights turn on. Yeah. And when I'm with people and they're like, I think it's time for us to go. And I'm like, it's 10 o'clock.
Don't want to go yet.
I haven't even really broken a sweat other than the hot sweat of everyone being here.
Aw. Last time I went out dancing was for my brother's birthday. It was some of his friends and coworkers. And I was in Boston visiting him. So realistically, I don't know anyone. I'm just there to hang out, have a good time. And I'm pretty low key. I don't know. For the most part, I'm pretty low key. And it was a new wave dance party too. So there's not crazy dancing you do to new wave music. You kind of two step and
bounce around from foot to foot.
Well, that's kind of that's
or
fair.
You can crazy dance and really go all out. But for me, I'm I'll just two step. I'll enjoy it. Yeah. They had videos playing that were super fun, and I guess someone he works with just kept pulling my brother aside and asking "Is Moosh okay? Should I ask her to dance with me?" It was a girl too, so just not a creepy dude. Is she having a good time? It was probably the Shannon of the group. I gotta go dance with her. My brother's like, no, she's good.
No, the Shannon of the group notices no one. I hate to admit it, but I'm I just dance and until creepy guy comes up, and then I move a little bit, and then I dance some more. But but that's good. That she's the Shannon that I should be.
Another, maybe the Amy. That seems like an Amy move.
That's an Amy move. Yeah, I'll be you come dance with me if you want. Until you say you need me, I'm out here.
But also, Amy would probably say it to your face. It was strange that she's going to my brother. Yeah. Is she good? Is she okay?
That's the guy who's is she single to your friend?
It's a little bit like that.
Yeah. So. You're why don't I don't want to play telephone.
Meanwhile, I was like,
I'm like talking on the telephone.
I was in my own world too, and I was like having a monologue in my head, like comparing dance floors to swimming pools.
Oh, do tell.
Because in my head, it's like, I mean, swimming is kind of awkward. It's pretty much like if you go to like a pool in the summertime, it's either you by yourself swimming to swim or dancing. You're on a dancing to dance or like chilling with your three friends like in the corner and like very clicky. And then I was on the outside of it watching and I was like, you know, this is cool. This is like swimming. This is like me catching a tan in between.
I love it.
Getting in the water.
You know,
I'm not being weird, I'm getting a tan.
Life is like a swimming pool. You never know what kind of swimming pool it'll be. It didn't work Olympic out so well, but you know what? Will it be Olympic size? Will it be a full size pool with lots of people?
Will it be Adult Swim?
Yeah. Will it be all deep end so you gotta just tread?
Those are actually the best pools. I like those.
They are really good. I like that. I like it when there's not so many people at the pool where you're just like, I can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And all I'm doing is getting wet and being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And I love swimming so much, too, that maybe this is why I like this metaphor. But I've been the creepy person that goes to a hotel pool by myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't care if there's kids around or families. I'm going to just pool myself.
Heck to the Put your pool first.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be a creepy person to do creepy person things. Going to the pool by yourself is automatically creepy, or did you bring out your inner creep?
Mm. Like, it just to me feels like a creepy thing.
So, okay.
I at least get away with it because I'm a girl.
Yeah.
If I was a guy, there's no way I could go to a pool by myself.
Yeah, but I think it's also like an eye contact thing.
Oppressive.
If you go and you're like, I'm isolating myself from everyone else here. No, I mean, like, I feel like even guys, because I've seen guys do their own thing, and it's kind of like, just don't make eye contact, pretend like no one else is there, and everyone doesn't think you're creepy. Yeah.
Don't smile at any of the children.
Don't smile. Don't look at the kids.
Make no sudden movements and offer no one candy.
I was in line at the post office today, and there was a tiny baby in a car seat,
aww,
and it kept looking at me. And I'm like, okay, at what point does everybody here think that I want to steal that baby because I'm making eye contact with it? Am I not supposed to look at the baby? Like,
no, you're true. And that's totally double standard because I will go right up to people and be like, oh, what an adorable baby.
I can't do
that. Or make faces. No, you cannot make faces at a woman's baby.
Be like, why is this bearded, like, grizzled Jesus coming over here?
Well, grizzled Jesus, if I ever decide to have children, you can make faces at my baby.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, that
That's
is
a
awesome.
Standing offer. Or, you know, holding offer because you won't be standing for at least 9 months. But
I love it.
I'm so funny, you guys.
I love listening back and hearing, like, people laugh at their own jokes, too.
Oh, man.
We always talk about listening back, and that's my favorite thing to note is, like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of laughing at your own jokes or, like...
What one of my favorite things is when I tell a joke and it totally dies and I'm like, no one? All right then. No.
Cool. Back to the show.
All right, back to the show.
That's always when the jokes die, that's always like, back to the show.
I used to do this thing when I would tell jokes and I'd, you know they were fun. Like, I felt they were funny, but they were like that weird kind of funny where you're just like, okay, it's kind of like dad joke zone. Mm-hmm. I'd always be like, Pat. And I like make some sort of like weird sound, like, hey guys, just letting you know, I know it's weird, but I laughed in my head.
Like an audible wink.
It's an audible wink, which would be great on a podcast.
Yeah.
We've learned so many things.
So the season finale.
Oh, hey, but there wasn't even a dead joke.
There wasn't a dead joke, but the season finale, which is the one we are going to be reviewing today, or recapping.
God, I love you guys.
Oh, it's so
good.
Just
putting that out there.
So
let's just take a moment for a group hug.
Okay.
In your
audible.
Head.
We got to find an audible
version. Did you feel it in your head?
Hugs.
No. Can you feel it?
I can feel it, but no one can hear it. We got to do like an audible version of the group hug.
Do you want me
hug.
To like go like this, and then it'll be like we're hugging?
We can do the bell. The bell's the group hug. Yes.
Yes, beer bell.
Do you love,
you are.
You love hugs and God, you love the bell.
You're a gorgeous bell. Yeah. We started our journey together very early, beer bell and I.
That was your first episode, right?
Second episode? Drunk episode was second episode for me. Yeah. A lot of memories.
As you pick up your drink and try
as
to throw
I,
it
as
back.
As I pick up my drink. Well, I got here a little bit early. And yeah, I know I'm totally like cock blocking our episode talk right now, but
we only got one episode to get through.
There we
so.
Go. So they have a bar here, and someone opened the alien vodka. Mm. It made me so happy. Because, you know, you don't want to be the first person to open it. And there's, like, a bottle of tequila that I really want to get into, but I'm going to wait till someone opens it.
No, just open it.
Really?
Yeah, just open it.
Okay, I don't want
to
be
That's why it's here. No, it's here for everybody to drink.
Yes. Okay, well, then after this episode, I'm cracking that puppy open.
Or say even during this episode.
Oh, yeah, I'll just be like, guys, hang on, I'll be right back.
We'll just send Jess out.
I gotta go get that. What is it, though?
I'll grab you shots.
Yeah. Ooh. See? Shut.
Yes.
Shut. And that, like, alien vodka was really good, by the way. Like, I was really excited by it. I snapped a picture because I was like, a Snapchat chat picture.
That's what that notification probably is.
It was. I sent it to you because that's what I do. I send anyone else who wants to be my Snapchat friend, you just let me know. I'll send you all pictures of alcohol and weird pictures of my steering wheel and pictures of plants. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really exciting.
I took so long to get used to Snapchat or like get on it because I thought this is stupid. Yeah. I mean, a lot of it too was like online dating. So dudes would be like, do you have Snapchat? And I was like, I don't want to. I'm not doing this. This is, you know, below my age bracket, which turns out it's not. It's just fun for everyone.
Yes.
And my favorite thing to do is just like I have friends and we send stupid selfies of us making dumb faces.
Oh, yeah.
Constantly.
Or like the really bad like filters or not bad, but cool filters. All the ones that like there was one that had like cartoon like glasses and ears that it put on you. Mm-hmm. You know, like not the ones that just look like real animals, but cartoon ones.
Yeah,
I'm
cartoon
like,
ones
I'm
are
a cartoon
great.
Character. Yeah. And me with Snapchat, my 15-year-old cousins got me into it.
Nice.
Yeah, like I went to go visit them and like, you know, there's these things called streaks. And I was like, what do you mean streaks? I'm like, the flame that goes next to you. I'm like, but I can't think of something exciting to send every day. And they're like, no, it doesn't have to be exciting. You just send a picture to me of the floor and you write streaks on it or the letter S or nothing at all. Yeah. And then we build the streak together. Now, you can send cool pictures as well, but you need to send something every day so that we can get a really good streak. So that's an exciting thing. And it's I feel like I'm closer to my cousins and their friend and a friend of the family. Mm-hmm. My longest streak at the moment, in case you're wondering with these guys, you weren't, but...
well, kind of am, because I don't think I've gone more than, like, a week.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a 44-day streak, a 41-day streak.
Wow.
Yeah. Jeez. Those are the two who keep up, you know, because, I mean, like, everyone has their own phases, and you lose a day, and it's gone. But it's actually really fun.
It's really weird.
It's kind of like this thing where you're like, someone thought about me for 0.5 of a second.
Yeah. They saw the list and they saw your name and they're like, yeah, that person would like this.
Yes. And you know, it actually comes to the point where some point in my day, I'm just like, oh, I haven't sent out my streaks yet. I gotta go send out my streaks for the 15-year-olds in my life.
Yes.
Yeah,
I like
they're really cute, by the way. I love my cousins and my adopted cousin.
I see. I got it, or I got you started using it more, and I became closer to people I worked with, which is strange because I never actually do become friends with people I work with. It's, I don't know. It's usually that's not always true, but that's always
hard.
That's a hard bridge to cross sometimes.
You know, they say don't shit where you eat.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And no one's like been that involved in my life like Paula, who's just like, I need to be in your life. She's just like, oh, hey, what's up?
Aww.
So, but it was good for that. And then. I just also noticed, too, like, I used to post stuff like that, like just a dumb selfie on Facebook or something, and it's gotten to the point where the people who just comment on that, my reaction is just like, ew, no, you want my attention. So I've just switched it from that to Snapchat.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to have a Snapchat one, you know, like, it's only to a few people, it's only for 24 hours. If I really like it, then I'll screenshot myself, or I'll, like, download it. But yeah,
so it's not this everlasting thing that you just can't like, get away from.
No, it's just kind of fun and sassy. Yeah, Schoonified, by the way, if anyone wants to be my Snapchat friend. Why? Because it seemed like a good name at the time.
Do you guys have like, your go-to usernames? This is way off track.
No. This is great. We only have one episode to talk about.
Yeah, I did say that. is your password Valencia1? There, I'm back. Now, usernames, guys.
I've been trying so hard to find, like, a username, and that's where the Schoonified came from, because my last name is Coon, and when I was in high school, I was called Schoon, and so, like, Schoonified was at a job that I was at. Some of the people talked about, like, I'd come through an area, and with my bubbly personality, I'd Schoonify it.
And so, like, that's where it came from. And then I don't know why I felt kind of self-conscious about it. I'm like, it feels kind of weird. You don't, no one knows the backstory of it. And it's odd. But yeah, so that's one that I've done for a little bit, but I can't find my place in the username world. Oh, but when I was in high school, the AOL Instant Messenger, you remember that?
Yes.
I didn't want to have any numbers, so I actually made up my own name.
Which is?
Amara Mizu. It took me like 2 hours, and I looked in a bunch of baby books. Because I didn't want any numbers. Anyway, anyone else?
Yeah, what about you guys? Do you have any go-tos, or is it just...
Go-tos. For my own username?
Yeah, you don't have like to say your... Well, I guess...
You got to say I said it. You say it.
I am going to be out of your usernames alone. This way. So
I was doing a B-movie.
People have played around with my name, so like my first and last name kind of rhyme, so I'll switch I'll like Rim Jimmel or something like that. Or I've had people call me Jimmel, so okay. That comes up a lot. I used to have since you brought up AOL,
yeah,
mine was Jimps, and I would tell people it was short for chimpanzees.
Aww, nice. That's kind of cute. Yeah.
But I'm on a social media diet still, so okay. I'm staying away from all of it.
Yeah, you look really fit right now.
Yeah. Because I focus my time elsewhere.
Is it working out? Is it feeling good?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, yeah. Because I went off of it for a good hour about, I don't know, 3 nights ago. And after sitting there and editing this ridiculously long Facebook thing, a comment on somebody's thing, I'm right back into it, thinking to myself, what am I doing with my time right now?
Like, yeah, why
I
did could you be, make it so long?
Because I'm a... Because...
Jim hates trees.
I have very...
I hate green things and trees.
I get a little too complex with my thoughts, I think.
Well, but I get that. I'm so the exact opposite.
It was a social...
Not the same.
...issue thing that a cousin posted, and I... decided to jump in against a couple of people who weren't being the most open-minded. And so
I bet that turned out really well for you.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I haven't gone, but my password has since been changed, and I don't have
it. You changed your password.
So Angela was nice enough to volunteer to change the password, and I'm just not getting that yet. I'm not getting
it's
back
obscene.
Got a lot of ideas that just popped up in my head. Not going to say
fun
them.
A brainstorming session in when case, you do try to get back in.
Yeah, see if you can guess it. Oh, you could play like an awesome game of Hangman.
Where the loser is you, because then you get back on social media.
Yeah. No one wins.
No one wins.
Everyone
that game.
Loses.
I'm honestly enjoying not being on social media.
Well, good for you.
I appreciate, like, I think when I do finally get back on, although this is. Was disproved as of 3 days ago, but hopefully I'll start to use it more. Just like it's a way to communicate every now and then briefly with a couple people, and then beyond that, like, stay away. Or if I ever have a thing going on, like a, you know, writing or performance thing, I can spit that out there. But
yeah, like for me, when I look at Facebook and I don't agree with someone, I'm just like, okay, I'm just gonna skip over you. I'm just gonna skip.
See, I'm really bad about like feeling like they shouldn't have that freedom.
Well, it's one of those things that I think to myself, am I going to change someone's mind
with
what I say, or am I just going to like start this argument?
If I can appeal to my racist uncle and how like offensive he's being to people he claims he cares about, then maybe I can start to chip away at his like closed-mindedness and show him how much of a hypocrite he is.
I admire you for trying.
He's got... And, like, to an extent, you got to think that if you berate this guy long enough, he's going to have to crack.
But he's been around longer. He's got more defenses to this,
he doesn't,
this kind of thing.
I refuse to believe that there isn't some way to, like, find a glimmer of humanity.
But how do you fight delusional? Like, how do you fight delusional?
With my own delusions.
The delusion that the world can be a better place.
Sure. No, I love the world being a better place. I love that idea. And I wanted to, but I've just... There's a lot of people on my Facebook feed where I'm like, wow, don't agree with you. Eventually, and I could defriend all of you, but I understand that I can't do that in the real world, so I kind of have to figure out a way to live with you.
Yeah, and it's unfortunately ignoring it is the easiest way. And
or you know what? The way that I look at it is I say to myself, like,
Otherwise, if I don't see that perspective, I kind of forget it exists, and then Trump becomes president.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, now I'm... So now I'm like, okay, here's a different perspective, and it does exist. And I need to think about how my world is going to work now that I know that there are these people who think so differently than me. Like, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... Forgetting it or being surprised that it exists is, I think, more dangerous than
it totally is
anything.
Yeah, I remember the day that Trump became president, and I'm totally telling my political views here, but oh well. I already told you my usernames.
It's all on the table.
Man,
Valencia wants a password.
God, please, no one stalk me. Not in a mean way.
I mean, we are reviewing a show about people without boundaries.
That's true.
With no boundaries. They have boundary issues, and that there are no boundaries. So
there are no boundaries. But I'm the only one sharing. No one else has told their... One person has told his username, but two of you suckers are not doing it yet.
Well, you know I'm a Greg at heart. Greg is slow to warm up to these things.
Yeah, but you told me and I answered. That's not fair. I was like, oh, we're being honest. Okay, la la la.
Well, no surprise. Mine are, like, my usernames are all Moosh or Mooshnik or just some version of my name. So,
fair.
Because I got in on the game early enough to where, like, not a lot of people had the name Moosh. So for the most part, that's my username. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
But so at least got that part.
But yeah, so with the Trump thing, like when he became president, like that night when like we're getting the polls in, when it first started in my brain, then this is why I'm like, I got to listen to those Facebook people and remember that view exists. Because I was like, there's no way. There's just no way.
See, because I had a lot of friends that day who were just like, we need to go out drinking and watch the polls come in and making a big party. And I'm never that optimistic about anything, just one way or the other. So it's just like, I don't know.
Good, because you know what optimism gets you.
I'm going to go straight to bed, guys. And also, I had been up since early in the morning. We actually like went to the polls to do some like promotion for media stuff. So
early in the morning.
Early in the morning. So it's just like, oh, God.
Angela, I'm done with this election. Usernames? You get out of the trust circle.
And then once you get them, once we unlock them, we can unlock the episode.
You wish.
That's how this works.
I'm an old. I don't think I ever
I'm
had
an old.
I'm an old. I don't think I ever had an AOL username. On Twitter, I'm A Joy Girl, but I haven't been on in months.
Mm-hmm. A Joy Girl. Oh, that's fun to say.
Yeah, that's kind of generally, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess there's not a lot that use usernames anymore either.
Yeah.
A lot of them are Facebook or linked to Facebook, which is now just your name.
Yeah. And I haven't used Snapchat. I haven't used, I think I have an Instagram account, but I don't know how to use it.
I have a hard time with Instagram. You know, like, I already chose Facebook. I already chose Snapchat. How many more am I supposed to take?
Yeah.
Yeah, they go in phases for me.
Yeah.
And I'm on the same social media diet that Jim is.
Hey. Are you hungry? Do you need cheese slices?
No, I logged back in on Monday.
That was a joke.
For not even an hour. And I'm like, I'm agitated again. I'm not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you can feel your mood change. Yeah. And even your brain. Like, my brain got really tense. And just like it felt like it was shriveling in places. So I was like, I'm just going to.
I mildly disagree with this post.
It's going to ruin my whole day. season finale.
Oh,
craziest
there's an episode.
There was an episode.
Is that why
just
we're
one?
Here?
Just one.
Oh, my God.
It's called Paula. Paula needs to get over Josh. That's what it's called. That's what it sets up. And this is the Google. This recap or blurb on it.
What you say?
Yeah, this one. Like, I'm really liking reading the ones that are either official or like kind of consensus based Wikipedia stuff, because it's always so much different than what we come up with. This one is: relationships are tested as Rebecca tries to navigate her friendship with Paula, her time with Josh, and her connection with Greg. Rebecca's world is thrown in turmoil at Jaima's wedding. So it's more of a pitch than anything.
Yeah.
But,
would you call it?
I didn't. I hate doing pitches on the spot. What I would call it? That would be, I guess probably like Rebecca. Rebecca like tries to make it work with Greg while the forces of nature and Paula are against her.
Ooh, that's good. That's really good.
See, at Jaima's wedding.
At Jaima's wedding, I like that much better.
What about anyone else want to try pitching it?
I've kind of got one. This is your brain on princess culture.
That's for
The
theme.
It really is. Okay, I'm not going to say the one thing I have to say about princess culture. I'm going to hold that back until we get to it. Let's see. What would my pitch be? Rachel Bloom, or also known as Rebecca Bunch, wears a pretty dress and has her dreams come true and dashed at the same time.
Yes. I like
la,
it.
La.
Cool. So the quick recap of this, because I guess we'll go bump in and out of it. But pretty much we start right back up where we left off in the episode before, where we're in the hospital with Rebecca, who is in the hospital because of UTI she got from Greg. Before we even get there, we open on a flashback, probably maybe like a morphine-induced.
Indescribable.
Yes.
And it's always off-key.
It is, which is, like, super funny because, like, this whole show is about her fantasy singing and song, and this one song is always off-key.
Yes.
Just like she's 7 years old again.
Yes, until, like, the one, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Crazy. I like it, though, because it's kind of like showing in a way that dreams don't come true.
Yeah, it's planting. It's showing where the seed is planted that, you know, one moment is supposed to, like, pretend like this untouchable, like, ongoing ideal of what, you know, the rest of your life is going to be. Or
part of
like
you will always be 7 years old and off key.
And if you forget that you were off key, that's where you run into problems like Rebecca has.
Man, we're giving, like, good life advice here. If you forget you were off key,
then you become delusional. And you start seeing Dr. Phil in your kitchen, and you
after eat pills
stuff
off the floor,
and then you see dream ghosts, and you date some guy named Greg.
Well, you know, they had fun, though. She may have gotten a UTI, but, man, she really needed to get laid, and she got it in spades.
She did.
So good for her.
Yes. And he's great for those reasons. He's a fun guy when he wants to be. This entire episode, he is not.
No.
Do you know how different the whole thing would be if Greg were, like, servicing Paula?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Much less destruction.
You know what?
So much.
The ratings for, like, the older ladies would go way up.
Everyone would be happy. Everyone would get what they wanted out of life.
Would Greg get what he wanted, though, because he wanted Rachel Bloom? Rebecca Bunch.
I think deep down he just wants to be loved, so.
Yeah. I want to love somebody.
I just proposed a very boring show.
You know, it wouldn't have to be boring, though, because I feel like those two could have some beautiful sexcapades. Like, I don't think Paula would be boring about it. Neither would Greg. It would just turn into porn.
Yes. You'd propose to porn.
There'd be a lot of experimenting.
Oh, there would be a lot of experimenting. Man, good for them. Good for them. And you know what? Good for Paula, because she grew up in her own sort of podunk town, and she needs someone who's willing to experiment with her.
Actually, I can't imagine it would work out, because I'm also picturing, like, how impressed she was by the guy.
Calvin.
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
She was so impressed by him, and, like,
status is preferred.
He had only traveled to, like, third-rate cities.
Yeah, so then Greg is going to look like the shit. Like, Greg is going to be
but
so great.
He can't.
He
He's got such
go
attitude.
Wrong. He doesn't. It doesn't matter. She'll turn it into a positive. She'll be like, oh, he's so feisty.
But he'd just be like, too good for this.
One of the things I love
Which
about the
not.
Show is that, like, it's purposeful focus.
You can give
is
me
like,
a UTI, baby.
Everybody, like, There are lives here in these smaller, you know, market areas, in these smaller areas of the country as well. Like, people live here. Remember, you know, that there are so many shows that seem set in these larger, more grandiose places. And it's great to see people who are, like, living, you know.
I don't remember if it was an essay or a video essay or a documentary or something, but there was something that just really was harping on this idea that before 9/11, which is a great thing to bring up in conversation, guys, but before 9/11...
Oh, are we going to do some more hugging?
No,
it's almost the anniversary.
It's just, you know, before that, a lot of shows were about New York and people who lived in New York, and pretty much that happened, and then that's how we got Parks and Rec, and The Office really took off, and just a lot of stuff about people in other parts of the country. And I think this is pretty much on that same
train.
Well, yeah.
So, like, the purpose is to divert the terrorists' attention.
Just America's uncomfortable with. I don't know.
Well, so this is my interpretation of what's happening.
And I'll use my smart voice.
Yes.
What's happened is there has been a very painful situation. And like all of us in life, myself included, when you have a painful situation, you pretend like it doesn't exist. And you do that by
pretending, by moving away from New York,
moving
going to West Covina. Yeah.
By the way, I just read Listening is an Act of Love, which is a book, and it's by StoryCorp. And they have some stories from 9/11, and they're very powerful and beautiful and very sad. That's a very serious note, but I just want to say it was a really good book. So
it sounds good.
Yeah, dude, we got to get in a story. Core booth. Like, I know it's only supposed to be two people, but all five of us got to get in there.
Just jump in there and take it over.
That's right. We're going to take the ground. It over. Well, I don't want to burn it to the ground. I want us to talk and have a CD when we're done. Because you get a CD.
So we're still in, like, the first minute of the episode.
Oh, yeah,
this is
Greg,
gonna be a two-parter.
Oh, yeah, no, Greg is a total bummer. Or he's not even being a bummer. He's just kind of in the room. Actually, I think he's his one honest moment in the episode. He says, like, I'm glad you're okay or something. And then Paula busts in the room and she says, hey, Greg, out. And I got to talk to Cookie. And she sings
My Cookie with the Broken Cookie.
Oh my gosh. I think she sings her song.
The honest moment.
Time for you to sit down.
Go back. But the honest moment, I think, was I left the date as soon as you texted.
Oh, yes.
That was, you know, like he actually shows a little bit of maturity or growth, like an ability to acknowledge his actual feelings by
saying. And he
says
the words, I didn't want to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
I didn't want to be there in the first
place. They had a moment of where they could have succeeded. Not
it
to mention,
was the one indescribable moment.
Yeah. It was. And he gave her an awesome balloon. Like, it was an incredible balloon. I would have chosen that balloon
the Messiah.
Any day of her flowers. Yeah.
It's a perfect.
Riding on a unicorn.
It was,
over a rainbow.
Awesome.
You know, you add a pocket full of glitter and we have a winner.
And the front side said, she is with Jesus now. Kind of inappropriate to give to her.
Oh yeah,
well, you know, her cookie could be with Jesus. Yeah. We don't know.
No. Well, her dad was
it's
Irish
not
Catholic
fixed yet.
And we know she's not dead.
Yeah. But the antibiotics may have not taken. Could be a super bug.
Just waiting.
Oh no. Oh honey, cookie. You know, it's harder to eat cookies these days.
They've been ruined for you?
They have not been ruined, because I really like cookies. But, I mean, just think about it for a second.
So, Paula's song is awesome and dramatic. And then she's basically laying out all the stuff she's done, all the illegal activity she's done to get Rebecca with Josh, how mad she is at Rebecca for not being with Josh.
And that song is so great. It's so, like, 1920s musical kind of, you know, she's doing jazz hands on the, like, trilled voice, and I'm like, oh, it's, sing it, Paula.
It's kind of burlesque-y, and like she's got like some like attitude in certain like certain parts of the song. There's like one part where she like angry shimmies.
Yes. Oh, I love the angry shimmy. I was just thinking about it in my brain with the jazz hands.
She's wearing the red dress of rage.
Yes, it's a wrap dress. It's very flattering. I'm just talking about a dress. I don't really know things. I just watch Project Runway and pretend like I do. By the way, scallops, they're really great on a top.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to say another word.
Another fashion thing.
Oh, yeah.
And as that song is going on, Greg and Josh confront each other in the hallway, and they have a moment.
And you didn't ask for.
Where they set up that Josh is being inappropriate by buying flowers for Rebecca.
We're just friends. Oh, he does like the Rebecca thing. He does the Rebecca thing.
Yeah, he does.
He's like, no, we're just friends.
We're just friends. Yeah, but you got to, like, be okay with her in my life because we have a connection that she's from my past. And he gets, like, really weird about it to Greg. And Greg kind of calls him out on it. He's like, this should all really be alarming because this is, I think, does he use the word girlfriend?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he says, this is my girlfriend you're talking about.
He says he's with her now.
He says something almost like girlfriend, but not quite.
Go and back then, to your patient girlfriend of 15 years.
That's when he says girlfriend.
Yeah.
And according to that math, Josh and Valencia have been dating since you were 11.
Oh, I could totally see that.
I could.
That's
on and off since 11.
Maybe 12.
Maybe 12.
It's
which
still
explains
believable.
Why it's a bit of an immature relationship.
Yes. Let's see. So
So the next scene after they confront,
look,
she's out of the hospital.
Through the first minute.
They get through the first minute or two. Basically, they are
good.
So after all that goes on, we're still setting up a lot of emotions and like where people are going to fall the rest of the episode. So Greg, out of the hospital, he's running it over with his dad. That's his sounding board. And
why do I tell you all this stuff?
His dad knows him and Rebecca fuck like 15 times a day. And his advice is be weird. Like, just be cool.
Don't be weird or you're going to shut down the booty bank. Like,
don't be an idiot. You like this girl.
Yeah.
Just be cool. And then Josh goes to Valencia and does not have the be cool conversation, but has like a, I'm going to marry you on my own terms. I guess it is kind of a be cool conversation. Like, hey, I realize I should commit to you. I want to do it. I want to do it in my way. Be cool. Like,
but it's
give me
kind
time,
of a jerk face thing
cool.
to say, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm going to engage, I'm going to, like, allow myself to be engaged to you at some
yeah,
point.
Subconsciously,
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, you've been waiting a long time. Just
he's
wait
not
a little
committed
longer.
Committed at all.
No.
That relationship is, like, done mm-hmm. in his subconscious somewhere where he's afraid to acknowledge.
He's only doing it because he's all upset.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's doing it because he thinks he has
exactly.
to.
Exactly. He thinks
like,
he's supposed
to. The next logical step.
And then he gives himself
welcome
this out.
Welcome to adulthood.
Because he knows Valencia's not going to leave this alone. So he gives her this like one
that's
rule.
That's true.
Let me propose in my own way. And he's been with her 15 years. He knows she's not going to let him do it in his own way. So he's setting himself up to fail.
Yeah, he's sabotaging the relationship in this moment.
In this one moment.
In this very indescribable instant.
That, again, just kind of got forgotten. No one noticed because it was early on.
You're right. Oh, my God. It's true. He did. He was like, I'm going to just sabotage this and it's going to be done.
Yes.
Go
indescribable
me.
Feelings.
Yeah. The whole world ugh. Falls apart.
But not yet.
That's not
it will,
circus,
but not yet.
Yeah, not
and
yet.
Then all of these are like moments right before the whole world falls apart.
Yes.
And then Rebecca confides in.
But it could.
Confides in.
But it doesn't.
But it could if it wanted to.
You got it. Thank you. I was like, please pick it up. Please pick it up.
she confides in Heather. About and it's kind of a weird person to confide in. It's
yes.
Greg's ex-girlfriend.
Heather's being very mature and very she's being a friend.
She's
that's
being
why
a girl,
Heather
yeah.
is like the best friend to have. She's like incredible. I mm-hmm. want to put her in my pocket. She's
yeah.
balling up for it.
Yeah. And she
I love the her. Actor's 5'9".
Okay, so maybe
you can put Rachel Bloom in your pocket, though.
Backpack?
We could put her in both our pockets.
Yes, put her in both pockets. Like, or you know what? I'll get one of those animal backpacks where they have like the dog with the legs coming out, and I'll just put her in that.
And I'll hold up the bottom of her feet.
Or we could just let her walk and have a. Maybe we could push her in a cart.
I like that.
I like that too.
Like a flatbed cart.
Or even like a Myers cart. We'll just pull it from the store. They'll never notice.
That's cute too. I like that. She can give you advice as you go
as
along.
As I give her like, wee! Go down a hill. Sorry. I'm totally off track today.
I love it. No, it's fine. Heather basically, again, just kind of mirrors the conversation Greg is having with his dad. That is, be cool. Like, don't be weird. But then she gets the added bonus of, oh my God, you're one of those princess girls. Mm-hmm. You're one of those, I mean, we all know Disney. Like, you're one of those Disney girls is basically what she's saying.
You guys, out of this group, I think I'm the Disney girl.
I think so.
Not gonna lie.
There was like a sing-along bar karaoke thing you wanted to go to. I saw on Facebook. And
it might have happened for a Disney movie. Yeah.
Has it happened?
No, it didn't. I didn't go.
Oh, you didn't go?
I write interested on Facebook for so many more things than I go mm-hmm. to.
Well, it's a good way to bookmark what you want to do.
Exactly. And then the day comes, I'm like, maybe not.
Yeah. I'll sing along. Maybe I'll go. Maybe I won't.
Yeah.
Gotta be in the mood for it.
I'll just watch it at home by myself and sing along. With a nice
but then
glass
are you
going to
get, like, the group love?
Oh, that group feeling.
Have you ever done any sing-alongs in bars?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, good.
You know, there's studies that talk about how having, like, they were talking about dancing, but I think the same thing's for singing as well, where if you have a group of people and they're dancing either the same number or mm-hmm. if there happen to be a bunch of people just dancing together, like they have some sort of increase of happiness and probably some increase of some sort of chemicals in the brain. But it's a real thing. And I think it's the same thing with singing. Like if you happen to have a bunch of people, and I think that's why karaoke is so great, right? Like you have someone singing on the stage, but everyone's singing the words, especially if you sing mm-hmm. Don't Stop Believin'. Everyone sings that song. Even though there is
once or
no
twice a night.
God, you know what? Last year I found out there's no such thing as a guy born and raised in South Detroit. That's yeah, actually
that's a couple yes. years ago. That was something that
I just found out last up. Year, and it like broke my heart. It broke it in a million pieces. I'm like, there's no South Detroit
the,
boy.
The people who are more geographically critical will say South Detroit is Windsor.
Yeah, I think they even have a bar in Windsor that talks about South Detroit. But I'm like, it's not
do.
The same.
The other parts of the country, like I've been to, like that, I've heard that line just mumbled through because people yeah. don't care. Except here, they care so much.
We
here.
Care so much because this is where your dreams could actually come true
in South Detroit.
For South Detroit, but it's broken and dashed and killed. And especially if you're a princess lady,
just
saying. Bye.
I mean, really, if you walk to like the southern part of Detroit, like you're in South Detroit. There just isn't a neighborhood that is delineated like South Detroit. Like it's not you know, yeah, Southwest.
Yeah.
But like you can technically say, hey, I'm in South Detroit if you're just standing in a place that is like south of the northern parts of Detroit.
I appreciate you yeah. trying.
There's always a south and there's always a Detroit.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
This is you a lesson what? On compasses.
So, you know, all those people who want to tear down
there's
that journey
that.
Song can just they're just
it's
looking
still
for
a great
something
song.
To scream about.
I still love the song. But you know what? In a way, it goes with the same Rachel Bloom theme of how there is no happy ending because there is no South Detroit.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And
there's
we're going to learn this lesson over and
right
over and
there.
Over again.
Journey told us. Journey told us first.
This series is all about learning that lesson over and over yeah. and over and over.
And over again?
And over. Oh my gosh, so many, like every 5 minutes, it seems.
Aww,
well, it's the,
yeah.
right, it's the, like, kind of, I don't know what, the deconstruction of all of these ideals that lead to so many insecurities and emotional, like, impairments.
Mm-hmm.
When really, if people were just aware of what is real human existence, we'd probably be a lot better off from the get-go.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like maybe
well, that's
the,
true. But we don't get a lot of examples of the real, right? Like, we get examples
yeah.
of the fake
well,
all
you
the
get,
time.
Yeah. You get examples of, like some realities just kind of forcing their way into these like idealized notions of what should be. And
yeah.
you know what? People need these I guess, ideals and things to make life more colorful and fun and interesting mm-hmm. too.
Well,
but
you know
like,
what they were actually for in the beginning, right? Like the idealized notion. So even like Beauty and the Beast, which happens to be my favorite. It was a killer when I found this out. But it's kind of like this idea of Beauty and the Beast is all this idea of you might get sold pretty much to marriage. Like a woman might get sold into marriage okay. to a man, and that man might be horrible. But underneath that beast, there
yeah.
might be a prince. So it's okay.
Just even, wait it out.
Just wait it
that.
Out. Even though your life is horrible,
you might fall in love with your
you.
Capture.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And that's what it's dark. All about. Thanks, Disney.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Such a dark. Dark
Stockholm,
dark.
Stockholm syndrome
yes.
is just so sad.
Yes.
It's exactly it.
Oh yeah,
selling me on Stockholm syndrome.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They wonder why our generation has issues.
God, yes.
Couldn't tell you what happened.
It was that movie was big. And
get
then,
yourself a patient, ladies.
I think between Beauty and the Beast, Little
Mermaid?
Mermaid, the Little yeah. Mermaid, yeah. and. Aladdin. Those are like the three big romantic Disney movies that I think screwed up like millennials.
Screwed us all.
Screwed millennials.
Yeah, let's hear it, okay, right? Like, so Beauty and the Beast, Stockholm mm-hmm. Syndrome, right? Like, find yourself a patient. Aladdin, guy who lies, still a great guy.
Yep.
and what was the third one?
Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid. Give your entire life away. Lose your family, lose everything that's precious to you, and don't talk ever.
Yeah.
So those are three great lessons for women.
That's right. God, it's really hard being a princess girl.
Thank God for Frozen.
Yes! Yes! Man, when Frozen came about, that was beautiful. Because yeah. you're right. Mm-hmm. It's like
a queen, not just a princess. Like, oh my mm-hmm. God, I want to marry this guy. And I have to do everything I can so that I can be his princess. She was like, I don't want any of you.
Yes!
Like, get out of here. I own yes. everything.
And the great love story there was actually between siblings. How great is that?
Yes.
That is that super fantastic. Good. And Greg was in that.
Who was he, Olaf?
The good one, right?
That was a joke.
He was the good one or yeah. the bad one.
Yeah, the prince. Because
there was the two boys. There was the one that was like well-meaning the whole time and lived with a moose
yeah.
or an elk. And then there was the one that like met at the... It was basically the princess story. Should we just compare Frozen for this episode with...
Oh, yeah.
This episode? Because there was...
Is Frozen the healthy and this episode the unhealthy? Like, what are we comparing? Let me know our data.
Because there was two princes, or two men, and the red-haired girl.
Mm.
She was kind of going... Like, she met one at the castle, and he was super great, and
so
she was going to marry
Greg
him.
Is with the moose, or is Josh with the moose? Who has the moose?
I should know. I've seen this movie.
These are the questions.
So many questions. Well, I know the actor played the good one.
You guys, I'm just too sassy tonight.
I don't know.
Santino Fontana.
Yes, Santino. Oh.
But I don't
was
remember the
one that, I don't know.
He was Hans in Frozen.
Okay. So that's the good
one.
Was
he Hans?
The
good one?
Wait, now we got to look up. Can you just Google?
Now I want to look up all the criticisms of Frozen 2, because I know Frozen had its issues as well that it was mm-hmm. criticized for. And I haven't done like
Kristoff was the bad guy, right?
Ooh, yeah,
that does sound bad.
It just sounds bad guy's evil.
That's a name that just sounds evil.
That's probably exactly why I said that too, because Hans is a great name for a good guy.
Okay, yeah. So we have Hans, we have Kristoff, and we have the Duke of Weselton. Who's he, guy? Who's he?
He's like just the little short guy that like comes in and out and is like,
oh, yeah.
The town is frozen. Go tell your sister to stop being a bitch.
You guys, I Googled Frozen and talked about a sing along and I got immediately excited. Just want to put that out there.
Mm.
Yeah. But oh, good. So,
anyway,
my
princess
phone.
Princess stuff.
Princess stuff. But yeah, Frozen is like Frozen. That's the thing, okay? At least Disney has come in a direction where... And they also have Brave, which I kind of remember. I've only watched it once. But mm-hmm. again, you have someone with, like, some real personality, so...
Yeah, they started coming around to it. But part of that was merging with Pixar, too.
Pixar.
Yeah, because Pixar kind of helped that.
Oh, you know what? Kristoff was a good guy.
Oh!
So Santino was the bad one.
Hey. But you know what? We're finding it out now. So that's good.
That's good.
You guys, what we need...
It's good for this episode recap, too, because Greg is not a good guy in this episode.
Oh, we didn't know. You know, I have my Chromebook. I could just, like, put it on. We could watch it Frozen right now. Compare scene by scene. Oh, podcast episode. Can we really, like, watch a movie and compare scene by scene?
I'm going to propose thought in a little more of a gray area mm-hmm. with Greg not being a good guy in this episode. We can get there.
Okay,
because
we're not quite there yet. Who's a good guy?
Who likes gray? We like a world of black and white.
I mean,
just kidding.
I can't go there.
There is no.
So we move into Greg and Rebecca interacting again for the first time.
It's a great scene.
Can I go back?
Yes.
To Kristoff and how he's in love with
him. To Rebecca and Heather talking.
Yes.
Heather says to Rebecca, dude, so the moment you're craving isn't anchored in real emotion. It's a script dictated to you by our society's patriarchal love narrative.
Yeah.
And then she tells her later on to, you know, tell him how you feel, but be chill. And then when I just noticed this today, when Rebecca goes to Greg's house, she is wearing a shirt with penguins on it.
Guess who's chill? I got penguins on my shirt.
Chillest thing I've ever heard.
That's right. Even Happy Feet was chill.
That's awesome.
Oh. By the way, I watched Happy Feet 2. I was a little disappointed. That is nothing.
Was there anything. Princesses in that one?
There were no princesses. But no, Happy Feet was kind of really fun. And then you have Happy Feet 2, and you know, like you're trying to like pull off of this episode, this thing that was just beautiful. But that's that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about the crazy ex-girlfriend.
So Rebecca and Greg.
Yeah, Rebecca. She
comes over to Greg's house for a date. She brings some cold brew or some brew dogs. Just craft beers, and she is going to just watch TV, and it can be like whatever. They sit on different couches. They're like just totally like not
totally broken.
They're acting the complete opposite of what they actually like feel.
Yes.
That's perfect. It's such good comedy.
But I mean, it is. But on the same note, and it's one of those things that I feel like a lot of us kind of get into that rhythm where we're like, oh, well, this is the thing I want, but it's not what I should really have.
Well, you're...
But really, like, how would it have been?
Oh, yeah. If they had just gone over and like hung out.
Snuggled on the couch. Snuggled. And just been like, I got
to
snuggle.
They're not to that level of maturity in their lives yet to where they know how to do that.
I want to be a human blanket.
Like, well,
yeah. They're both following like scripts. Like Greg Greg is like, I'm gonna be the bad boy, and Rebecca is trying to be cool.
Yeah.
And
neither
almost,
one of them knows how to do that.
Yeah.
No.
Almost everybody in this episode is following some kind of script that leads them astray.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, you know what we need in this episode? A human blanket. Right? Like, all Rebecca needs to do is be like, I'm a human blanket, and just, like, lay on top of Greg. And that would have made it all better.
He would have to stay there.
Yeah.
He should have just not gone to the wedding, honestly. Because weddings ruin everything.
weddings can.
They're not interesting. They're not fun to be at. They kind of ruin it for, like,
there's dancing.
Other people's stuff. Yeah. There's dancing. I mean, yeah. It could be fun, but, like,
the dancing thing would be good, but you're right.
They would have just been better off not going to a wedding.
They would have. Yeah, because you know what? They weren't ready. That was a big step for them.
Huge step.
Too big. Too big after they just had their 3-day sextathon. You know, like, yeah. they needed to recover from that a little bit. Not go straight into wedding time.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, even, like...
The wedding killed them. Weddings kill.
I mean, I can get behind that statement. This episode's very hard for me because, like, I don't see a lot of value in getting married. And a lot of cool things like that. So I don't see value in getting married. I don't see value in big weddings. I don't see value in not being honest with people. Like,
yeah.
It's just, it's so...
I think the value
so
of, like,
the media hates
tax
you.
Incentives, I think.
Yeah, I think it
is
100% tax incentives and, like, just easy legal paperwork stuff, like power of attorney and medical whatever. Advocate, like just one person gets to be all that for you. So you just, you know.
So you never have to think again.
You never have to think about it. So that's like the advantage, but like that's...
Who wants that life?
Everyone wants it to be romantic. That's why they have like, I mean, there's like...
You're speaking to princess lady.
You get it.
Rebecca
gets it.
I love romantic. Rebecca and I, we understand each other in our sad, twisted ways. And we're just all like, yeah, I get you, Rebecca. I sing the songs too.
See, I get
that's
her.
That's what I want.
I get her in, like, the self-loathing parts, like, the really goofy, manic stuff, but, like...
You ruined it.
Oh, yes, that I get. The, like...
Stupid bitch.
I was listening... I think it was the commentary
like
or something on that song.
I stroked the microphone as I sang that.
That song.
I feel horrible about myself, but I'm turned on for some reason.
Yes!
I get that.
Broken am I?
I'm so broken. It makes me so sexy.
You ruined everything. You stupid, stupid bitch.
A little crackle. Now you're just becoming the villain. You're becoming...
Well, I am the villain in my own story.
But also every story.
Recapping it all. All my favorite songs. Those are my top two, by the way.
We got to get to that. Eventually.
Eventually. I'm too much squirrel right now. I'm going to chill.
I want to mention my favorite line from the episode is probably in that weird interaction between them.
What is it?
Where she's like talking about how she feels and she's trying to still be chill.
Feeling.
And then she's like, did you just fart?
Wow.
And then he's like, yeah, I ate like... a microwave burrito from the 90s because I don't care. I'm a bad boy.
And she's like, but it's a bodily function. It's fine. He's like, but I'm going to go get the candle.
I get a candle. It's a triple wick.
Triple wick is hilarious. And then she's like, she does a line where she's like, maybe I'll just fart too, because that's classic humor. Farting is so funny.
By the way, fart humor, battle humor is not really that funny.
No, God, no.
I mean, I'm just going to say, that's a cop-out. That's cop-out humor.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's possible to do it well, but 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work. And it's just,
I would say
like,
9.5 times out of 10.
I'll go with that.
It's stupid humor.
It is. Every once in a while, somebody will find a way to do it. Well, like here, it works. But
someone was able to make a can of Campbell's soup out of art. Like, yeah, it's possible to do anything. I'm just saying, it's not likely.
I could break down.
We're on the same side.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be like combative about that, but I'm just like,
I'm just trying to pretend I have an open mind.
You have an open mind. No, I appreciate that. Good for you.
Playing devil's advocate in like something that doesn't matter. Fart jokes. So our next scene,
I'm sorry, Angel,
is Rebecca trying.
Here's a hug.
Rebecca is trying to get into the wedding. Snail's pace, all the setup for this wedding.
There was
this whole episode is just snail's pace, wedding, was, plot, setup.
There was one of her though in that scene with Greg and Rebecca at Greg's house. She's searching for moments throughout the show of romance. Mm-hmm. So because her brain is hopeful she'll find that, she comes across Jaima's wedding invitation on the table and picks it up, and it hits her as this potential like romantic thing.
And the like the scene of that, or the shot of that, is she hears her off key voice singing as a 7-year-old in her head about indescribable moments, and then Rebecca is just looking into the sky with like a light on her face, and it just sits there. It just sits on that shot for a while. And she's like, yeah, okay, this wedding is where I'm going to get my romantic moment. Which, how is she going to get to the wedding? As we all recall, she was kicked out from being a bridesmaid. She somehow, magically, runs into Josh's mom and his aunt, Myrna.
Coincidentally.
Yes. Like this whole show.
Oh, yeah.
We're using air quotes.
You guys, life is like a box of chocolates. It's just going to screw you over and give you diabetes. Yes.
Josh's mom is totally on board. She's just like, you know, when Valencia is involved with stuff, things get complicated. I like you still. Aww. And also, it doesn't hurt that Rebecca brought a $2,000 bridal gift or wedding gift.
By the way, she just has money again? Like, come
on. She's a lawyer.
Probably got a paycheck and was like, oh, I'm out of the hole.
She was never like impoverished. She was just broke because she didn't have a paycheck.
Well, yeah, but I mean, so she's not saving anything?
Oh,
she hasn't learned
anything. She's not
subject to her impulsive, like, emotional disorders.
She's just still spending away.
This is not her being healthy anymore. That was last episode.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I'm behind.
You just can't apologize and ask if you can come to the wedding. You have to, like,
bribe.
Yeah.
She probably would have been on board, but she had to use money.
Yes, when morals fail,
that's what she knows.
Yeah.
What she knows.
Bribed your friends today?
Oh, so then we have another, so much weird setup moment where she goes to get earrings for this wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And she is there, and that is when we run into Josh again.
It's kind of like Rebecca is Rebecca and Paula at the same time.
Well, her jeweler, Rebecca's jeweler, is asking, have you found your soulmate? And then who walks in? Josh appears from the clouds
soulmate.
Above.
That Moshe.
Yep.
The jeweler who found Jaima's wedding ring, too. That was like another like setup from last episode.
Oh, that's true.
They're following all the romantic film and Disney tropes throughout, you know.
Yes.
Anyways, sorry.
Well, he's straight out of like a Disney movie or a video game where like he is there. He says like, "Where's your soulmate, little lady?"
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And then he comes in, or Josh comes in. Something they say all this like canned, easy dialogue. And then there's also as it's going on, he's just like, "Oh, oy vey, like what's the sad faces for?" Mm-hmm. And then
love is in the air.
In case there's any question, he was Jewish. Which is like another Disney thing too. Like, I don't know if we can really get into, because it's just, it's, there's always like that Jewish character, the wise Jewish character in the Disney films, like the genie, and it's the genie in Aladdin. That's really my only Disney film. No, there's other films that have them, but
Robin Williams.
I don't know if it's
Best Man.
Is Princess Bride Disney?
I think so.
But the Princess Bride is a fascinating thing.
Yeah,
because I read the book too, but that's a different story.
I have mixed feelings about that movie. Tell us. But like the Billy Crystal character would be
I love the Billy. Is he all the way dead or mostly dead? if he's mostly dead, we might be okay. What do you do if he's all the way dead? Check his pockets for loose change.
like the crab, Sebastian.
Have fun storming the castle. But
also from Aladdin, Gilbert Gottfried, the
Iago.
Bird. Iago, yeah.
Oh, he was so good.
So good.
There's so many memory lanes that I'm just walking down.
Lion King, who's the Jewish character in that? Probably just both Timon and Pumbaa. Both of them. Mm. The wise Jewish.
What about the hyenas?
Farting.
I don't know if that.
Humor.
They weren't very wise.
No, they weren't. Oh, yeah. Okay.
They lack the wisdom.
I don't even know any. I know Disney movies. Doesn't matter.
I could tell you all the Disney movies.
Okay, name one. We'll try to find the Jewish character.
Okay. You want me to start naming these guys? Game on. Okay, we got Beauty and the Beast.
I don't know that movie that well.
Aladdin.
We named those.
Oh, wait.
Little Mermaid.
Sebastian.
Oh, is he? Okay.
I think so. He's wise and grouchy.
We said The Lion King. Mm-hmm. We said
Beauty and the Beast. But
I'm not saying these are good stereotypes, but
it's fine. I just get to name my movies, and I'm okay with that.
I'm two movies behind.
Oh, Mulan. Name a Jewish character in that.
The dragon. he's playing that sidekick role.
Oh. Maybe
I'll expand it from Jewish to just minority. there's always
that's where
one
they get their diversity
funny
credit.
Minority. It's wise.
What about The Emperor's New Groove? Like, do you remember that one?
Yes, because that has David Spade in it, and
it's
love him.
It's a beautiful movie. Yeah.
Got such a crush on him.
Aw, David Spade. I love the short guys. Like, do you remember Seth Green? God, such a crush on that man.
Uh-huh.
Such a crush.
I
right up there with Robin Williams. Like, these are my crush
guys. So
speaking
of, like, weird moments, like, early on in
he
relationships.
He did his hair all the time. It was so cute. Yeah, tell us about these weird moments.
Weird Seth. Seth Green.
Yeah. Who's coming up in season two.
He does.
Oh, yeah, because he's the newbie.
Oh, yeah.
He is, yeah. So, anyway, Seth.
God, it makes me so happy. I'm so excited.
Early on in a relationship, it was, like, one of the first nights I spent with my boyfriend. And at his house, and I just, like, it was like really good, like romantic sex the night before, and I spent the night, and I was like, this is good, this feels good, this might be going somewhere, which I never admit, I never think, I'm very Greg, so it was like, this is Greg's like big moment.
I mean,
also my moment.
The wedding, like after the first time,
I'm having like this might be going well, this might be going well,
yeah.
And then when I'm sleeping that night, I have a dream in which I'm having sex with. Seth Green behind a dumpster, and he's so coked out.
Oh no! What? Not Seth Green.
He's just like way coked out, and then I wake up, and I was like, "This was such a romantic night," except I just had a dream.
Seth Green is 5'4" and healthy and on Buffy. Like, don't mess with this.
He's just like, who are you? I can't feel it anymore.
You're like, I know our relationship's going to fail because Seth Green was coked out in my dream.
Yeah. I mean, the relationship did last about 4 or 5 years, so, but it never could. I mean, really.
It never could.
Honestly,
you were told.
Never could have.
You were told.
Emotionally,
by your dream
I emotionally
Seth.
Cheated on him with Seth Green early on.
Who won it?
I mean, give him the chance, of course.
God, he's 5'4", but you know what? It's the only time I go for a shorter man.
Is he really 5'4"? That's crazy.
He's 5'4", and I know this because I've Googled him.
It's adorable.
He's so cute.
Might mean he's 5'2", because they always bump up there.
And then it's just like an Usher video where you always shoot it from the bottom, right? Usher.
Rebecca gets her earrings.
Oh, yeah,
Rebecca. And her self-doubt.
Oh, yeah.
And then she has a pep talk in the mirror, and she says the line, pep talks in the mirror do nothing but enhance the loneliness.
It's true. It's a sad truth.
Yes.
You have to talk about the bird.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bird. Actually, do you want to talk about the bird?
I will talk about really the bird.
Angela's excited about this bird.
Every character on the show has their own life going on, including this bird.
Yeah. Oh, do talk about the life of the bird.
That's true.
Rebecca's talking to the bird. The bird is talking back. Like, Rebecca's not listening because she doesn't understand bird. Mm-hmm. So she has an excuse this
also
time.
She's Rebecca and she doesn't listen but yeah,
that's
but
true,
she
because you know excuse. What if she would have listened to them nonverbal cues, I think she and the bird would have got along just fine.
So Rebecca starts singing off key and the bird says, "I just remembered I could fly, peace bitch," and he flies away.
I remember you're the villain of your own story, we already had this.
I'm done. Peace out.
Boom. Because you remember in the villain of my own story where she's like, a bird.
It's true.
I like to think it's the same bird.
Every time they go fairy tale, there's going to be a bird.
Gotta be a bird.
Can't go wrong.
Man, did I ever tell you that when I was growing up, there was a cardinal, like a red cardinal, a guy cardinal, that would run against my window. Like, he'd just fly into it and he'd fall down. Awful. I felt so bad for him. But if I let him in, my cat was going to eat him.
I was going to say, was he like, suicidal?
You're going to die one way or another. Mm. At least maybe you'll learn with the window. But
seems intentional? No, maybe.
I like to think that I was magical.
He just couldn't resist.
He couldn't resist your aura.
Resist me.
Not true, but you know what? Prince's story right there.
As she's talking to this bird, Greg is all, "Hey, who are you talking to?" She's like, who are you talking to? What?
Who are you talking to?
And then she comes down the stairs, and she's in this gorgeous dress. Again, very Aladdin-y, like blue. It's also an Arabian Nights
theme. Her dress is totally cute.
Yes. It's so cute. She's so beautiful. She's got smoky eyes.
Oh, yeah.
She's like all decked out for this wedding, and
Greg spent 2 hours on her makeup. Rebecca did.
And then Greg is like, "You look all right."
and his jeans and like
tennis
casual,
shoes.
Yeah. Casual,
but here's the thing:
shoes.
If you want to be casual, at least like talk up your lady and be like, "God, you look gorgeous right now." You know what? Let's not even make it to the wedding.
You're
Let's
so
just
sexy.
Bang on
See,
your
that's
couch.
The thing he's missing. Yes. He's missing the, like, I'm a bad boy, I'm playing it cool, but I'm over-sexualized.
Yes. So. You're right. If you're going to be a bad boy, you better have the sex drive of a 16-year-old.
Yeah, but like, you can't get past those insecurities just because you decide you're going to be the...
You're right. I mean, he's not good at it.
No, he's not at all. No. His interpretation of the bad boy is, I farted and I ate an old burrito.
Yes. Interpretation of the bad boy is the dick that no one even wants to sit next to.
It's just, yeah, a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Get, like, 5 more years, dude.
He's just totally sad. The guy's just totally sad and depressed.
Yeah.
And that's his inner turmoil that he just keeps manifesting.
He just keeps getting passes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to this wedding, and what is the line about the wedding? This is total SoCal pastiche. It is, what is it, a French hotel.
Oh, it's long.
Yeah.
With serving Italian food.
Mm-hmm.
Tapa style.
Yep.
As a Filipino girl marries a Jewish guy with a vaguely Arabian Nights theme.
Yeah.
And again, Greg just laying
Greg
it
hates
down,
it, but you know who loves it.
Same words, exact same words.
Daryl!
Thank God Daryl is back.
God. Yeah. I love them. And they're wearing tuxes.
Yes.
Just because they're going to be fancy.
Daryl and White Josh are like they're the examples to follow.
They're so cute.
In this episode.
Here's what I want. But yeah. Like, they're my retirement plan. That's what.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
Even I'm like, weddings are stupid, whatever. But like, if someone was like,
if those two got
go to a wedding and have fun,
yeah,
that's the way to do it.
Yeah,
like don't.
If Daryl and White Josh got married and they invited me to the wedding, I would go there and I'd be so excited
so
for them.
White Josh is a flip-flop guy and he has a tux on because he has a positive attitude.
Yes. Yeah,
like, I'm gonna.
That's a good
And he was a little unsure about it, but Daryl's like, no, we're going to be fancy at a 10.
Yes. And that's the thing. They both like push each other outside of their boundaries, just like a good couple will. But they do it in a way that makes the other person feel comfortable and not like they've given up anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are
so
healthy.
Cute.
Yeah,
they're so healthy.
Yeah, they're well-adjusted.
They're poster child children. Poster couple. We don't want children. Poster couple of healthy.
Yes.
God, they're so cute.
And I kind of forget at which point, because this is all blends together to me.
I want
to
make them
point,
my screensaver.
Because we're talking about them so much. They're amazing. They're awesome. They should be having a great time at this wedding. At some point, Daryl disappears to go get Paula.
Yes.
Well, and at some point, White Josh is becoming... Greg's babysitter.
Yep.
So, like, the most awesome couple on the show doesn't even get to have an awesome time at an awesome wedding.
Because you know what?
Because
that's the thing that happens.
Yeah.
Healthy people clean up the messes of the unhealthy. Yeah. You're always going to have the drunk friend who's stuck at the bar and who makes you take care of him or her. Mm-hmm. And you're always going to have the sad friend. Like, and if you're the healthy
typically
couple.
They're the same person.
They might be. Yeah.
In this case,
yeah. If you have two healthy people, you'll have two unhealthy people. Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those bummers because you're right. Like, they should be having a kick-ass time. They should be like, mm-hmm. we're having so much fun. It's our first wedding together. Mm-hmm. We're just enjoying life. We're both wearing these adorable tuxes mm-hmm. with our cute faces. And one of us looks like Magnum P.I. and the other one looks like, you know, he should be in a boy band. And,
and they're the cutest, but...
Instead, kind of, they're taking care of people.
It makes me wonder what kind of truth bombs are gonna be dropped in season three.
Oh, yeah, like, do we ever tear them down, or do we just keep building them up?
I think we just keep building them up because you know what? They have an honest relationship.
Well, I mean, not between those two, but I mean those two, like on the others who they are consistently taking care of. Like as they start to confront them, like, you know what? I'm not putting up with your shit anymore.
Yes, that's true. Mm. Here's the mirror. Look inside. Yeah. I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
Be healthy and enjoy myself and my partner.
Hmm.
Who looks like he's, you know, still in the 80s.
So cute, though. There was what Daryl's song was playing, because I was also listening to the soundtrack on my way in.
And
it was having a few people over. Of course it was that song.
A few people over. I was listening to it on the way here, too.
So
and
cute.
It's just so great.
Good. Got pumped up with it.
God.
And, like, that was one of those songs I was listening to. I was like, this song makes me want to be creative. This person, this character is so good and honest. It makes me want to be, like, actually, like, creative and write things.
Yeah, it gets you in, like, a positive enough headspace to where you're, like...
So here's the thing. Every time I hear that song, I'm just like, oh, that's the day that why Josh and Daryl finally found out they had feelings for each other.
He kissed him because he was like, you're
being cute. And the same thing happens to me with songs. Like, I'll have a song that I love, and then something great will happen in my life, and then it'll be sad, and I'll be like, I don't like this song anymore, but I like it because it's painful.
I'm attracted to the pain.
It hurts, but it's because it used to be great.
It hurts, but it feels so good.
There are some painful songs that I like listening to or watching just because they create such a catharsis. It's like it's nice to feel it. You know, just
God, songs are so powerful.
They are.
Mm-hmm. Every time I talk to someone about the show, and they're like, "I don't know, because there's music involved." I just want to shake them and be like, "Listen, music is cool."
Yes, I started to listen to a podcast where they talked about like the top five that they liked from season five from season one, and when the guy in the show talked about how he hated that there were songs in the episodes, I'm like, all right, well, we're done.
Yeah, they're just afraid to encounter like feelings. Yeah. Like they just don't want that. They're afraid of feelings. They're afraid of the emotion that comes when you hear something that is like, you know, engaging like that.
Yeah.
I
think that's very fair.
Especially because it does follow classic musical rules in that these are all moments that emotionally evolve the character to the next point.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the song is there for. It's for the emotions and involving that. And then because you're more prone to feel emotion while listening to a song, it's like pulling teeth for people who just are against the song aspect.
Well, I got to admit, like as a person who's kind of adverse to feeling like certain feelings, and, you know, like, when you get in one of those really uncomfortable situations, in the past, I've worked on it, but in the past, I've just kind of run away. And so, like, I told you're like, oh, this is uncomfortable. Okay, bye.
Where's Shannon going?
I know exactly what you were talking about. Jim and I saw a play a while back that I just started getting angry because I was like, I didn't come here to be moved.
Yeah. That was such a good play. Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was good.
What was the play? Yeah. Like, what was it?
It took me a while to, like, process
Was
that.
It a local one?
Yeah. It was, oh my God, how am I going to forget the title of it? I remember the
but it was written by
the
a
playwright
Chicago.
Was Philip Dawkins.
Yeah.
The
okay.
play was... oh my God!
Where was it?
Three sisters who all would be dead by the end of the year or something like that. And you know that going in, and then the
failure. Failure, a love story.
Yes, failure, a love story. Yes, okay.
But yeah, I totally get that. Where you're just like, I did not expect to feel this much in my life, and then it happens, and you're just like, oh God, I'm not. I overdrive.
Don't look at me.
Yes, But so I get that some people will have that from music. And for music, like, that's more the norm for me. When it happens in real life, I'm just kind of like, oh, God. Oh, this is a lot of emotions. And I've kind of worked on that, but
I'm feeling a lot that I'm uncomfortable with right now.
Yes,
so could
exactly.
you sing or something? Would you just,
yes!
would you just...
Wouldn't that be great?
Just break it down into a song.
I think some people object to musicals because, I don't know, breaking into song is unrealistic for some reason. I mean,
I don't know. If it's unrealistic.
I mean, we know Shannon, so
that's yeah. my life.
But
I mean, feel sorry for everyone else in the world who isn't in a musical. Dance too.
Dancing
see
too.
See me on my desk.
Yeah, this show.
I'm my poor desk mate, by the way. I just feel very sorry for that man.
I'm usually adverse to musicals because I don't hear lyrics as quickly as I hear words. So sometimes I just don't know what's happening. And that's, at least in live theater, that's very frustrating because you know it's important, but you can't figure it out.
And
you can figure it out, but you want to, like, I want to know exactly what's being said.
I want to know.
No one ever cites that as a reason. They're like, oh, I don't like musicals because I don't know what they're saying. So I'll be the first to say it.
Yeah, I understand that one. But this show does a particularly good job of music. I mean, you mentioned emotion, but there's also action taking place usually in this song too. So some kind of plot thing happens.
And it's also like socially relevant and modern to where you're able to connect with the subject matter. And it's funny too for the most part. So, you know, that makes it a lot. You know,
yeah, I think
a classic musical or something might be harder to engage with than something like this that's a, you know, a present comedy.
I think Sex with a Stranger is a good song to get people, or an episode, or a song to get people in on the joke.
Yes!
Because, like, oh yeah, everyone's been on Tinder dates. Or
I
at least
haven't.
Been, okay, maybe dating. You've been on a date.
I'm like, I have, but I use other people's Tinders and swipe left and swipe right just so I feel like I can have the experience.
So,
anyone who wants to let me play with their Tinder, that'd be great.
But you were on board anyway, so
totally
I'm not appealing to you. I'm appealing for everyone else.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, I mean, it is. It's one of those things that, like, this show is great because it does give a lot more emotion than in a lot different ways than what a show typically will. But it does with comedy because that's how we all relate to emotions, right? Like, we can't you can't just have emotion that is straightforward and is straight laced. Some people can, I'm sure, but
I don't think anyone in this room can make it nervous and awkward.
Yes.
And you start to make weird quips.
You make weird jokes and stuff. That's why comedy's great. It allows you to talk about things that you can't typically talk about.
The next song in this episode is the full-on version of the one indescribable moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Aunt Myrna.
Yes, Aunt Myrna, who is played by, I probably wrote her name down, but I'm not going to go through my notes.
It's Leah, and I don't know how to pronounce her last name, Salonga, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, there it is, yeah. Leah Salonga. She did the voice of Jasmine in Whole New World.
What?
And then
no
the voices of Mulan and the sung parts.
Wow.
God!
So
my mind is blown.
They even somebody
from the genre that they are picking apart, which is so important to note.
Oh, the Disney person. Aw, a whole new world. Aw.
I don't know that comes next.
Oh, I was like, is anyone going to sing with me?
I don't know.
A whole new place I never knew. But somehow, from way up here, it's crystal clear that now I'm in a whole new world with you. Now I'm in a whole new
world. That was Jim, not Jim.
Here's the comedy, my friend.
Is that song honest, or is that just kind of
what the whole new world?
No, the other one,
feeling
the one in the show.
Oh.
Like, is that like coming for like? Because the other like the other huge thread of this episode is like at least with Greg is like everything's ironic. And, like, is this like
an ironic
song?
By the way, Alanis Moore said that ironic song. It's not all ironic. Some of it's unfortunate. It's just
saying.
Yeah, coincidence. Yeah. Anyway,
so is the Aunt Myrna song? Is that
Like, I know she's coming from a place of wanting to show, like, as a character.
Yeah,
I mean, she was on Star Search in 1984, sang that song. I don't remember where she placed or whatever.
Yeah.
But so she's singing it from a very selfish place as a character.
3.25 stars or something like that.
Yes.
But not to mention, if it's one, if it was from 1984 and Rachel Bloom remembers it from a cartoon that she saw, that means the cartoon came out before she was born.
So it's like the My Little Mermaid.
My Little Mermaid.
My Little Pony.
My Little Mermaid. My Little Mermaid.
It's probably like
I got seashells on my boobs.
It's probably like a Snow White, which has been around forever, and like every once in a while, well, at least when I was younger, they'd like bring it out like every few years to like reintroduce
it. Cinderella, maybe.
Yeah.
Cinderella's like the most boring Disney movie, by the way.
It is. I'm going to sing songs and have no personality.
I don't even remember.
I'm going to fall asleep and someone will wake me up.
I only remember the mice.
You know who's more exciting than me? Mice and fairies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember anything from Cinderella, and I know I've seen it.
Yeah.
There was a slipper.
Yeah. I remember the basic story that everyone knows. The pumpkin. I guess I remember the pumpkin transforming if I like really.
Now we're going to remember all of it.
Like all of the Disney movies, right?
And there was...
Yeah, but I mean, like, all the early Disney movies, you have Snow White, you have Cinderella, you have Sleeping Beauty, and they're all pretty boring. Because they're all, like, none of them actually have any sort of perspective of a woman having an actual voice or being able to...
They're all just inundating kids with value systems that, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Marry an angry man and stay with him.
The marriage is just the end. The end of your journey.
Marriage is the end of your life, but don't worry. That
nothing
beast
happens.
May someday turn into a prince.
Nothing happens after.
Yeah, exactly. Your life is over.
As this like episode just like in my head just like mushes together, the next basic parts are Greg continues to get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Josh is fighting with Valencia, which we will reenact in a second.
Oh, yes!
But he is on board with the princess thing. And... well, I guess we should reenact that, because then after that scene there is the realness between Rebecca and Greg.
Yeah, Mush and Angela, you guys are reenacting it, right?
I don't know if I remember it that well, but let's see.
All right. Do you want to be Josh or Valencia?
I'll be Josh because I don't know anything.
Okay. All right. Okay. So
and go.
The setup, get to this, is that.
Oh, yeah.
Aunt Myrna gave a family heirloom ring to Josh to propose to Valencia, but Valencia kind of asked Myrna to do this behind the scenes, and Josh found out.
Yeah, Josh is sitting, or I, Josh, am sitting there, bro, with Aunt Myrna, and I can just feel something is not right about this heirloom ring, and I look over my shoulder, and there's Valencia, just like...
Well, didn't you see the look?
Looking hot, but had... Yeah.
Quickly looked away, like...
Yeah. Like
sneaking.
And Aunt Myrna gave the look to her, like...
So
Aunt Myrna blew up by throwing her eyes over Josh's shoulder
she
back
did.
To Valencia.
Like, she was all gloaty.
I may be dumb, but I know what's going on.
That's because Josh isn't one-dimensional.
I lived in New York. I know things. I know my character.
Tyrion Lannister, I drink and I know things. Josh Chan, I lived in New York and I know things.
I want that t-shirt.
So that...
Say, so we're about to do another graph, too.
Yeah! Are we?
We'll do this as we're...
Okay, I see you drawing on paper. I'm like, what's going on?
I'm doing the know things versus drunk. Or know things, don't know things.
Oh. This would be an interesting chart.
drinks. And then lived in New York.
Whoa. This is going to be an interesting chart.
It's one of those quadrant graphs we've done before.
Mm, science.
So, knows things, lived in New York is a Josh. Drinks and knows things is a Greg.
Mm-hmm.
We need a drinks and doesn't know things.
That's Rebecca.
Hector?
Could be Hector. Yeah. And we have lived in New York and doesn't know things, which I think
would
be Rebecca.
Oh, that would be Rebecca.
Yeah.
Okay, so drinks
just
and
delusional.
Doesn't know things. Could we say smokes weed and doesn't know things? Because then it would be Heather.
Could be.
Because there's the episode.
She knows things.
Oh, she kind of knows.
She kind of knows too much.
That's true. That's
could be
true.
Like the middle
Heather's
line.
Deep. Heather's but like knows. The Yoda of the show.
Drinks and doesn't know things.
Mm. Drinks could be any vice or whatever.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Paula's husband, Scott.
Oh, that man.
Poor man.
Not a huge fan.
Hmm. We'll come back to it.
Okay, so we need to
know. All right, again, I'm Josh again. All right. Oh. And I just got the look.
All right.
I don't remember what happens next.
Oh.
Do I confront?
Yeah, okay. You confront.
So I go up to Valencia, and I'm like, yo, V, I told you I was going to do this my own way. What did you do? What is this? What's happening?
I didn't believe you. Joshy, propose to me now.
Wait, I'm still stuck like 3 steps ago. Like, what did you do? Why did you do this? Like,
because you weren't going to propose. I put rings all over this town. You could have just picked one in 5 minutes, but you didn't. So propose to me now, motherfucker.
But I was
just like the show.
But I was in the ring shop and I was looking at rings and I was going to buy one. And I just, I gave you this one thing to do to respect me and my voice as a man.
What happened in the ring shop?
I don't remember if I've told you or not, but Rebecca was there. I don't think I tell you this part.
Did you get distracted by her boobs?
All the time. But like, we've known each other a long time and we have this like connection.
Okay, and that's fine. Propose to me now.
I can't do that.
Well, we're breaking up then.
Okay.
And that was it!
And then he runs off and meets Rebecca.
And he's like, hey, we can bang now.
Pretty much. Yeah, because I feel like the song cuts off that moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one indescribable moment that they're describing with words and breaking up gets distracted by the song.
Rebecca, guess who's not attached anymore?
He really does do that move. Yeah. He really does do the move where he's just like swoops in. He's like not seeing her anymore. Things are just open to be cool. And
yeah.
And then
such a bummer.
Come with me.
Yeah.
And they take off.
Yeah, he does. I guess it is a little more romantic.
Yeah. And Rebecca's like, oh, well, Greg's passed out drunk. So
I hate this part so much, too. It's just like, ugh.
It is. And then like, you know, she was just with Greg and then immediately bangs Josh. I don't know. And, like, to me, Josh always just seems like the party favor, like, little, like, plastic box that you get that has, like, the small little token of gratitude inside. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, and so she, like, bangs the tiny plastic box. That's not great.
And I guess for the, like, the sake of the episode. In a car. Ugh, not cool.
Well, I mean, you know, it could be quite sexy, but again,
I don't think it was sexy.
It's the plastic box.
But they were doing the romantic. Yeah, they were doing, like, they were on the romantic kick.
It was romantic to them. And at one point, you know, there was a magic carpet.
You know what's more romantic? Like, having sex outside under the stars. Do that, guys.
Was it a convertible?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I guess then you don't have to worry about bugs.
It looked uncomfortable to me because they started out on the hood of the car.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that doesn't.
Well, then they ended up levitating for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. On a magic carpet.
Seeing Whole New World.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I heard that.
And they were snuggling.
It was in the background.
Yeah.
And then the bombshell gets dropped.
What? What are you talking about?
The words that we've been waiting for.
And this is how they end the series and leave us hanging for like however long production lasts.
Not
like
for me, because I didn't watch it.
Which is like most people. Most people are like, what happened? And then they can just like binge the next one. But at the time, this was a cliffhanger for like a year. And it is Rebecca being like, hey, Josh, I want to tell you something. I moved here for you, and just like when I saw you in New York, like everything, I just knew that you would just solve all my problems, and I'm here, and now we can start our life together, which is the creepiest thing you can say.
and he reacts as you'd expect with that same look, like that, like he just smelled a really bad
burrito fart.
Yeah. So here's the thing that she missed out on, okay? She mm-hmm. should have done it like the minute after sex. Because then his brain would have been
mush. They waited too long. Like,
she waited nothing. Too long, yes. You have to do within the first 5 minutes. If you don't, like, drop your bombshell in the first 5 minutes, you just have to wait till the next round.
I maxed out our credit cards.
By the way, I embezzled your life savings.
Okay.
Just wait until right after, and then you're fine.
She doesn't need to learn this lesson because she gets in this problem a lot. Yeah. Aw.
So, yep.
The
so,
whole
girl.
There you go. Yeah.
The whole episode is just, there's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yes, it's really good. It, for me, it's like such a bummer because like all these things are ideals and just themes and scripts and stuff like
you want.
I want to reject. Like, I want to reject the notion that there's princesses and princes and these romantic moments. And then that's what happens. Of course, that's what happens.
Well, they try to live them and then they get undercut by some, you know, difficult truth of human existence.
You guys, you don't understand. I was Team Greg. Mm-hmm. Just think about it.
This is
so disappointing.
Yeah.
And then, they do, as the tag happens, it is Greg.
Love is like living in a trash can.
Or maybe this before. I don't know. At some point. It is before. Maybe before the big bombshell moment. Greg is throwing up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Earlier, he's like.
Well, he says on the couch, "Rebecca, I love you."
Yeah,
and then he
should have said, "I love you." Yeah. He realizes what he should have said.
Again, yeah, well, you know what? What he should have, could have.
It's so difficult to watch that and be like, "Oh yeah, I've been that guy. Mm-hmm. I've totally been. I've lived.
I've been
Greg.
The girl with that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, and you know what? I have no sympathy for that man.
No,
like,
I don't either.
When, yeah, you should.
No, I have no sympathy for him. I just understand why he is who he is.
I became no longer Team Greg because I'm like, come on.
See, the thing is, like, I'm not necessarily team. I'm team, like, mental health. Everybody's got to grow.
Oh, that's such a PC answer.
No, it's not at all. No, it's having lived the experience and understand. Like, I have empathy for these people because I know that they're going through a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, like, yeah, they're characters in a TV show, but it's very realistically depicted of, like, the consequences of not taking care of or not knowing how to take care of yourself emotionally and psychologically. Like, that's what I see when I look at this show.
And it
overall.
Shows so much that if you don't take care of yourself, then you're going to, like, totally screw someone else over.
Well, and you have to have also the knowledge to know, like, how to take care of yourself, because a lot of times, a lot of people aren't intelligent enough to even know they have a problem.
A lot of people don't have a mythical Dr. Phil in their brain.
Sure. Or whatever.
Or they don't, they don't screw up their life enough to realize they have issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, and get a dream ghost.
Yeah. I think of everyone in this episode, though, Greg for sure had the most. Oh, no.
Whoa. Hi,
Stop it, phone.
You're loved.
No, it's debt. It's debt. It's
dead.
Past. It's the past. It's dream ghosts.
But dream ghost.
Greg had the most dramatic experience to his own life.
Yeah.
And this is kind of, you know, giving away the next part or what happens next. But like, of everyone who walked away from that wedding, like who walked away with the most positive experience because it's life-changing in a good way, it ends up being Greg. Like,
that's
everyone else just kind of, maybe they got what they wanted or they thought they wanted, or like even like Paula and Rebecca at some point reunite and
but that doesn't
change their life.
Yeah, that's a weird scene because I noticed, like, on my multiple viewings this weekend, like, they're apologizing to each other but they're not listening to each other. Mm-mm. They're just both talking over each other, and the other person might as well kind of not be there.
Yeah, and then they're even still being like, oh, I should have been a better daughter, I should be a better mother. Like, they're still playing into that fantasy role of each other's friendship, which sucks.
Yeah.
Because I do hate that part of Paula. But they do, someone calls someone a sea princess. I forget who. That's cute.
Rebecca calls Paula a sea princess.
Of all the princess stuff, I liked that one.
Yeah. Mm. That is true. I have my top 10 songs.
All right, let's
season.
Do top 10 songs.
So these are mine, though, because everyone's might have different ones.
Top 10 songs for season one, you said?
Yep.
Okay.
These are my top 10 songs. They are not endorsed by anyone.
Anyone else in this room.
Yep.
But we'll probably all be like, yeah.
Hopefully. I hope so. Number one, my favorite? Should I start from the bottom and work up?
Bottom up.
Okay.
Always bottom up.
Where's the bathroom? Song number 10. I feel like that one's really great, and it plays into all of our guilt from our parents. Number 9 goes right along with that of I Give Good Parent, because fuck yeah, I do.
I was like, I don't like that song, but I don't give good parent, so.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
I get it.
I mean, we have the things, and so that's why I was like, not endorsed by anyone. Number 8, Jap Battle. I think that song is just beautifully done.
It is.
Heck to the yeah. 7, I Could If I Wanted To. I feel like that plays to many lives.
That one ranks higher for me.
Oh! Six, What'll It Be?
Which one's that?
Hey, Wes Covina.
What'll it be? With him.
Oh, I do like that one.
Kind of piano man.
Did you say it was 6 for you?
Yeah. 5:55 on a Saturday or whatever, the Thursday, and it's different time, but you get the idea. Okay. Number 5, Feeling Kind of Naughty.
Okay.
I really like that one. You know, trying to put on the skin of your friends.
yeah.
Number 4, Put Yourself First in a sexy way. Number 3, Oh My God, I Think I Like You.
Okay.
I feel like that's a good song. Number 2, Villain in My Own Story. And then number 1, You Ruined Everything.
That's my favorite one.
It's my favorite of all songs. And honestly, when shit gets real in my life now, that's what I listen to. Or I'll even just sing it to myself. I'll be like in the middle of a moment where I'm just like, oh God, I did so many horrible things. My life feels like shit in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
You ruined everything, you stupid bitch. And it just, in a way, you know, it makes me feel better. Yeah. You know this one, Shannon. You see it all the freaking time now.
That is definitely my top.
Yes, that is the top one. And then The Villain in My Own Story. I feel like those are the two that I sing to myself, like, all the time.
See, Villain of My Own Story, I, for whatever reason, don't.
Like, well, good for you.
I don't. I guess maybe it goes back to the Disney thing where I'm like,
oh, a bird!
But it's, I guess I'm going now back down.
Yeah.
Because you did the dramatic way up already. But
you always made me do the horse stuff and you do it easy.
I'm writing mine on out in my head.
Okay, fine.
Second one's definitely Oh My God, I Think I Like You.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
one. That one's great. 3 might be Put Yourself First in a Sexy Way.
Yeah.
I think that's like the best feminist song of all time.
Oh, it's so great.
4. I like the boy band of For Josh's song.
Oh yeah.
That is like such a it's it's so early on. It lays out the themes of when she got screwed up mentally, or like when she, you know, when she got stunted.
Yeah,
back in boy band years, like the one moment to like a dramatic personal moment. It represents Josh as like different personalities because he's not just one person. He's very two-faced and like he's not very honest, so he's always playing a different part for a different person. It's super funny.
And you're
going
to be exactly who I want you to be.
Yes, and like he's there to fix her, which we know isn't going to happen.
No, because no one can fix you but yourself.
And I think one reason I like it too is because it's a 98 Degrees ripoff. And I didn't like that band. That was not my boy
band. They were my favorite of the boy bands. But only barely, because Drew had attitude.
He does. He's great. He's also short.
I tried so hard to like the boy bands. Yeah, and I really like the short guys. Like, well, I've never really been with tall guys. Just a fact.
No, I was a Backstreet Boys fan through and through. But I think what's interesting about the 98 Degrees thing is 98 Degrees as a band did a lot of songs about marriage and love, and they had that big like romantic wedding video, and like one of their huge things was like the Jessica Simpson marriage was like part of the legacy and the pop culture thing.
Like them, I think.
And that's why I didn't like them, because I was like, marriage. Married? Ew. Like,
marriage?
No. I want my boy bands to just be like vaguely.
I want them to be vaguely sexual and talking vaguely about sexual, actually, vaguely monogamous relationships.
Vaguely vaguely monogamous. Yeah. But also, they would very much be about, Backstreet Boys songs are very much about like, I screwed up and you're my everything.
Aww.
So that's a very much like, I did nothing wrong.
Aww, but see, attitude. In my life, I like that. I'm like, oh, screwed up.
And
I've had enough of that.
I'll give you a chance. I'll be a martyr. I'll be a savior.
Had enough of that.
I have Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, no. And what's your Disney story? Beauty and the Beast.
It must be that one. And then what else did they do? Oh, just like even like they have like The Call, which is like the entire song is like it opens on like AJ, who's the sexy one. Like he like goes into a club and like this, I can't hear you anymore. It's like too dark and staticky. Gotta go. I won't be home tonight. And that's like so scummy.
That's
and, like,
so scummy.
So scummy.
AJ.
And for some reason, I'm just really into that scummy stuff.
No. Though I gotta admit, when I was in middle school, we had to do like a music video and we did Backstreet Boys like my group did. I was totally AJ because, you know. If I was going to be in the Backstreet Boys, I was going to be the bad boy.
Yeah.
Oh, in the amount of time that we've been talking, Angela's just written down a list. Top 10.
It's out of order. Well, it's not in an order, so I just wrote.
Which means out of order.
Yes, out of order.
So top 10 in no order.
Okay, in no order. Getting By.
That's a good song.
The Sexy Getting Ready song. Jet Battle. I Could If I Wanted To. Settle For Me.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Villain in My Own Story, You Ruined Everything, Give Good Parent, Heavy Boobs.
Oh, yeah. Ow! No, that can't be my favorites. It hurts even hearing the name. Like, I reached for my boobs. reached for them. Ow!
It's the most physically painful video to watch.
What, it's super real.
It's super real.
Super real.
They bruised just watching.
And I think it's a toss-up between, like, the theme song for season one and Feeling Kind of Naughty.
Okay.
Does the theme song have you wearing someone's skin? I don't think so.
It doesn't. But it does. It's like the Nanny theme song. It's super fun.
Oh, the Nanny. Mr. Sheffield!
How can you not love that show?
Oh my god! You know how many people I've annoyed with this accent? So many!
Oh, that's good. Now I'm thinking like they should be ranked by category, like your best feminist song, your best love song, and the best. Because, well, those are the kind of
this
the main
sounds
one.
Like a Casey Kasem top 40s.
It kind of is
on here.
A little bit. I think the best love song is "Settle for Me."
All right,
for me at least. So, love, or do you want to like chime in on best songs?
Oh, I'm totally caught off guard. I don't know.
You don't have to do a whole thing. We broke Jim.
We didn't break him. We turned him into a Muppet.
We made him better.
I like, yeah, there are too many of them. I like all the songs. yeah, the whoop-de frickin' do is great. I could if I wanted to.
We all agree that's
a great song.
Also.
But it's also a very cynical song. So if I'm trying to go with optimistic.
You don't have to. Just
your favorite song.
Put yourself first.
Yeah,
see, that's the laugh of that I used to do when I thought I was funny. No one else did.
Aww.
I'll say like having a few people over just because it wasn't mentioned yet.
Oh, that's also super fun.
Having a few people over.
Yeah.
Jessica, I heart you.
I'm like dying over here. I love the show so much.
Oh, we love you.
We do.
And what's his name is just so awkward that you just want to like hide your face in a pillow every time he feels embarrassed. He's that good of an actor that you're just like,
yes,
God, I'm embarrassed for you.
But in a loving way.
Yes,
loving
in a very, very loving way.
Yeah, you really
way.
Do want to just hug him and like
it's
cradle
be
his
okay.
head. Stroke his mustache.
Honey, I got you some gel.
Oh. I think that is the moment I want to end on. Stroking Daryl's mustache. It's the sweetest, cutest image.
I imagine him in the fetal position.
Yeah, he's very embarrassed right now, but like he's getting comfort from stroking his mustache. So. So we will be back.
You're laughing because she said stroking, aren't you?
Yep.
I'm not judging. I did the same thing.
No, I'm really imagining him in the fetal position having his mustache stroked. It's so great. And he's saying in his head, it's okay. It doesn't matter if I go bald. I'll always have this mustache.
You know he's going to turn gray and he's not going to lose his hair. It's the kind of guy he is going to be.
Yeah.
Well, this is the Crazy Ex-Girlfriends podcast. We'll be back in a week to discuss the first episode of season 2 of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah, the two episodes?
I think we're...
Or is it
first
one?
Two. Yeah, first two pair really well. I think that's what I wrote down. I did, like, I went through all the prep, or I go through all the prep,
and
then I just never bring it with me.
And I never remember
it. No, it's okay. I'm just mad at myself because, like, I'll do prep and then my brain just forgets it. So that's on me. But anyway, we'll be back in a week to discuss season 2. And just a recap of voices, I am Moosh.
Jim.
Shannon.
Angela.
And we'll see you guys next week.
We love you.
We won't talk to you guys next week. We won't see anyone.
Okay. We love you.